Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 41. We're so excited you're here, but if you are joining us for the first time, if you're a new listener, we're glad you found the podcast, but we are actually finishing off Final Fantasy IX today. So if you want to kind of start off at the very beginning of that, episode 6 is where you're wanting to go. As for everyone else, if you've been listening this whole entire time, well, as I just said, we are finishing it. So we do have one more episode after this where we'll kind of analyze, we'll kind of give our scores of the game. We decided we'll kind of just do that for each of the Final Fantasies. So we do have one more episode and then we'll be on to 10. So if you've been really highly anticipating that, well, we're almost there. Just be patient a little longer. And so for this episode, we left off last episode making our way through Memoria, right? Where we're continuing on, we're going through. I think we left off fighting the Lich. We killed it. Also kind of talked about where, you know, we're basically where you get Excalibur 2 if you're a boss and you just finish the game that quickly. We're going to pause right there because we've had all the kind of the last little side things to do, the bosses, the last kind of little island we haven't talked about yet to handle. We're going to go ahead and attend shop, man, and we're just going to blast through this stuff.
Yep.
Behemoth, man, Monster House, we've talked about it. We have talked about Behemoth, and if you literally did just listen to our last episode, we talked about it. But Monster House specifically, main difference is obviously you can only choose one character.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty much the same as the version in Memoria. Got your standard fare Behemoth attacks here with Strike, Heave, Counter, and of course he can, I believe, he has a final attack of Meteor.
Yes.
Or he can just use Meteor, one of the two. You can silence him to stop that from happening. Another really cool thing with this is that if you happen to be able to beat him with Dagger, then you get the Dragon Lady achievement, which is pretty cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting thing. You'd certainly probably want her to be pretty high-leveled for that, just for health-wise, yeah. You know what I mean? And so it shouldn't really be that difficult. None of these were really a hard. The funniest thing is probably the first one was the hardest one, just kind of, you know, talking about where you were with characters-wise. If you did manage to beat it, you're going to get a fantastic reward. No, you're not. You're going to get a circlet, which, you know, it's a great item. It is, but it's like, come on. At this point, it's like, woohoo.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get something, you know, especially for like doing all of them too. Yes. It would have been nice to get something really good for that. Before we get to some of the other final bosses, we have one in Memoria still. We've got the synthesis shop. So there's a final battle there with Hades. So basically, you know, this is kind of where we're going through that part and you're in the underwater section. You take that little right into the nook.
Yep.
You can speak to an invisible exclamation mark back there or whatever.
yep.
And then you can initiate, if you accept the challenge, you can initiate a boss fight with Hades, which, have you done that yet in your game?
You know, I did not do it this game, but I did do it my last one, and that was the first time I even, you know, challenged him. And that's why I didn't do it with this game. I'll be honest, guys, I got burnt out. I did not do a lot of this endgame stuff. I know about it. Most of it I have done at some point, but Hades, I don't know. I don't think he's particularly that challenging, right? I mean,
no,
it's kind of...
I wouldn't say so.
He's in line with the other bosses that you've encountered. Here's the other thing, too. We already know that, you know, levels are, like, keen right now in this endgame. If you are a low level, you haven't done a whole lot of stuff, well, no matter what, it's going to be challenging. I mean, it should be.
That's for sure.
If you're kind of at level par with the bosses around, like, you know, let's say mid-50s, mid-60s, it probably won't be so challenging, especially if you've had a lot of these treasures that we've gone over. Mainly just the things. He does use Judgment Sword. It drops party members down to 1 HP, kind of one of those attacks.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like a just one to watch for. And then really just kind of watch it. He uses Freeze, so you want to obviously protect against that. Mustard Bomb, same thing. So kind of at these point, as we've talked about, and we're kind of just beating the dead horse here, these are kind of ones you should just always have on anyways at this point. You know, it's kind of like you just want to protect against those because it seems like most enemies use them.
Yep, at this point in the game, most enemies use those moves. One notable thing about Hades is I believe you can steal Robe of Lords from him.
Yes, you can.
One of his, like, rare steals. You might want to go for that. Other than that, I mean, yeah, he has some pretty hard-hitting attacks. He'll use a countdown, I think, until he uses what move is that? I can't remember actually right now. It's
Is it the
Doomsday or
Powering
something like
Sword
that.
route, right?
That's what it is. Thank
Yep.
you. Yeah, so he uses a countdown for that, but regardless, when you finally do beat him, you get a lot of AP, all of the standard, boss fair stuff.
Yes.
But then the real bonus with this is he opens kind of the final end game secret synthesis shop. As far as the items it has, honestly, not that great because a lot of them aren't really that useful. I think the best item there is the tin armor.
He's got the tin armor, which it's the best in defense, but actually the good thing about it too is it has a lot of magic defense as well. Like, so for instance, Grand Armor I'm looking at right now, it has a defense of 59. Tin armor has 62. It's not that big of a deal, but what tin armor has, it's got additional 17 magic evasion and 27 magic defense. So that's what makes it truly good, and 32
That's pretty
evasion. So
good.
it just tosses in a lot of extra stuff in there. Of course,
Yeah.
you can only synthesize it if you've got that hammer through the Stalazios. So there's that. Another kind of interesting piece that, well, you're just gonna have to kind of make this decision for yourself, and maybe you decide to do this after fighting another said boss that we'll talk about in a moment. But you can synthesize pumice, in which you need those pumice pieces, which you should have a couple at least at this point. And well, pumice is not really a great accessory unless you want that last summon, which of course is Arc. So that's kind of like the only big deal there on pumice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty much the main use of it, and also one of the better items here. And then for kicks, you can also synthesize the Save the Queen Sword,
Yes.
which is pretty interesting because nobody can equip it. And then this guy actually goes back to one of the missables I mentioned like way back in one of our earlier episodes. At the very first time in Limblum, it requires the javelin, which is
Yes.
missable pretty much after you leave Limblum in Disc One. I mean, it's crazy. Like, so it's just kind of funny that they made that an item to synthesize to save the queen.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. I can't remember if we did talk about the friendly monster Yan. I'm
I don't
maybe
think we did
thinking
yet.
we did, but just in case we did, and it is the last friendly monster, it's on that one island we will talk about here in just a second. But give it a diamond and you'll get 50 AP and a Rosetta Ring. So, I mean, probably don't even need either of those at this point, but if you just want to finish that off, that's that. But, and I'm thinking we did talk about this because I'm pretty sure you definitely mentioned you gotta be careful of the, well, not so friendly Yans.
Yeah, exactly. This is like, I don't know, me and Mark were talking about this, and we'll probably cover this in our post-game analysis of this game, but
Right.
this is kind of like the final dungeon of Final Fantasy IX in terms of end game battles.
Right.
And unfortunately, it is only one enemy. It's a Yan, which is like just looks like a
Little furry
little,
ball or something.
yeah, like a goat mixed with a sheep or something like that.
Yeah.
These guys are a real pain. So they use Comet, which hits really hard. They have pretty high speed. They use virus powder to make themselves, that much more annoying.
Of course.
They also like to use float. And then here's the real kicker. They have something like 20,000 HP. And if you attack them while they're awake or anything like that, they counter with Snort. So that permanently gets rid of one of your party
Yep.
members. And this is why they're such a pain. So couple of ways to deal with them at lower levels, and you can level up really quickly this way. You either use Odin with Dagger and just hope that pretty much death works on all of them,
Right.
or the only other way is to put them to sleep using Night, use that until it sticks, and then if you have something like 40 or 50 Amethyst somewhere around there, Atomos should be able to do Quad 9.
And then you just do that
So,
basically twice, so to speak, and
yep, you
good
got
to
to do
go.
it twice. So sometimes you have to reapply sleep. It helps to have the A to B on wait mode for this because their speed is so high. If you have it on active, they're going to wake up by the time the animation's over for Atomos.
Yep.
So they're kind of tricky, and you definitely don't want them to wake up because the thing with them is basically if you inflict any damage, they're going to counter with Snort, and
Yeah.
you know
Yeah, then you're
their
dead.
Comet attack too. Yeah, because their comet attack, it can do like 6,000, 7,000 damage.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah, but anyways, they give 42,000 experience, and you can meet them in groups of two or three sometimes. So, crazy leveling spots.
Yes, really, really fast leveling. That'll definitely help you reach max if you so choose. Which, well, you might want to before the last fella, right? So, if you know Final Fantasy IX and you know all the things, you've been waiting on it. It's Ozma, of course. We've mentioned it multiple times. We already know how to get there, so, you know, if you followed up this point, we're not going to go detail, but, you know, it's Chocobo Sky Garden, so you got to get up there, inspect the statue, and here you go, right? So, first off, we'll just do it because it's pretty fun, but if you do want to steal, you can get an elixir for 100%. Cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting one here, though, because this is a pretty, I guess, probably one of the easier ones to get is, once again, a Robe of Lorbs, but it's 25%. That's not bad. That's a pretty darn good steal rate.
I think the logic with that is you're not going to be alive to steal that much anyway.
Yeah, it's so like, we'll give it to you here.
Yeah, because past that, 6.25% dark matter, and forget about the 0.39% pumice piece. That's just not worth it at all.
No, and on that note, this is who you really want these pumice pieces for if you so choose to go that route. I mean, that's an option. And so maybe if you do want the pumice for Ark, well, maybe just come to Ozma first, you know, if you want, because they are quite handy. Because in his, you know, plethora of abilities, he does like to use Doomsday and inflict, you know, those dark damaging things. And of course, pumice piece absorbs the shadow damage, right? And so, one of the options.
Yeah. But of course, there's a couple ways.
He uses tons of other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so going back to what Mark was saying, another way you could do it is you could also equip ninja gear. Aside from that, he's also got your standard fare. He's got flare. He's got meteor. He's got holy. Level four holy, which I honestly don't see him use that much. He's got death, level 5 death. He also likes to use this flare star move that we'll talk about in a little bit. And another real pain is a curse, which can inflict all kinds of, it's like bad breath basically. It does damage.
Yeah,
so he'll be hitting you with mini, he'll be hitting you with confuse, just every single status in the book.
Yes, so on that note, for preparation, obviously you want, you know, clear-headed antibody, you know, bright eyes, all the main ones that would just be, you know, just absolute trouble for your characters. And then some good ones is auto reflect is really good to have on him because it just helps maximize the damage against himself. Just keep in mind that with Kira, you know, healing your party at this point, though, this is it, right? This is the main boss of the game. This is the biggest, baddest guy around. So just use your elixirs. Yeah. Might as well. You should have plenty of them. Just drain them out. Go for it. They're like, now's the time, you know? So that's why auto reflect is great to have. Of course, auto life and regen, really good. And then if you are using Amaranth and or Vivi, return magic is actually, even though I complained about it quite a bit last episode, is actually really good for him instead because he doesn't just absorb it back.
Well, and here's the thing that's nice about that too, is that it'll return magic on Doomsday.
Yes.
And if you have the absorb shadow damage stuff, and that'll be healing all you guys. The other thing that I wanted to mention, so this is a kicker with Flare Star. So most of his attacks are going to wreck, like, your party pretty much, especially Meteor. But the thing with Flare Star that really sucks is that it takes your level. It does damage based on your level times some factor. I think either 35, 45, or 50. So that one in particular can kind of sort of make, you know, you want to be like higher levels,
but not too high.
because then Flare Star, like, there's a sweet spot, I think, where you can beat him at sort of
right
and 60, 70s.
Yeah, and in kind of on that note too, some of the things is, you know, he can use level 4 holy and level 5 depth, so it's actually kind of helpful to just have maybe one character that's divisible by 5, one character is divisible by 4, because apparently with Ozma, if no characters are divisible by 4 or 5, he will not have those abilities in his lineup. He just won't use them.
Ah, gotcha.
And so instead, you want to have that because, you know, yeah, sure, one person dying is, you know, way better than 2, 3, possibly even game over from a meteor, right? So it just kind of adds more attacks into his pool, so he's less likely to use the crazier, harder hitting things.
That's a good point.
He'll just use the
I never even
holy.
Thought of that.
Yeah, well, and yeah, the holy one's great really too because point. You can, you know, you can meditate that damage some way, you know. And
oh,
so,
yeah, you could like absorb if you used, I don't know, ribbon or something like that. You could absorb it. Yeah, one other thing too, like as far as damaging Ozma, so the whole friendly monster quest, if you completed that, what that's going to do is Ozma will be within range. So you can physically attack him if you want. But other than that, we were kind of focused on, there's a lot of attacks that ignore defense.
Right.
So actually, I don't know if shock does. I wrote down shock because shock just does a lot of damage. So if you have it with Steiner, use it. No Mercy is a good one. Dragon Crest, if you power that up, killing a bunch of dragons, that's a good one. Same thing with Thievery. Thievery can work because it'll do fixed damage based on the number of steals that Sedan's got. So,
same Cuffalo, with Frog Drop as well.
Frog Drop, that's right. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways you could beat him. You could just use regular attacks, but the annoying thing about Ozma that'll get you is his ATB's kind of cheap in a way. Like, he'll get double turns sometimes. He'll just, you know, he'll use, like, Meteor and then follow up with another move. It's kind of cheap, but just be prepared. Ozma just gets in a lot of hits. He uses all, like, biggest attacks in the game. So sometimes you're actually hoping that he'll use Doomsday or Curaghan or something like that.
One of the lower ones, give yourself a break.
Right.
Or just plain to death. It's like, yes, please just kill one. I'm tired of killing all three, four.
Yeah.
If you did beat him, congrats. That's something I've never done. And so, I mean, I'm not saying I won't. I might actually just, you know, power level. I got that save, man. So, you know, go back and fight him someday and I'll come in one episode. Be like, hey, guys, I finally did it. But, you know, we'll see. But that's it. So we've covered everything. All the side stuff. It's time to move on. So now here we go. We are back in Memoria. I mean, essentially, we're at the very, very, very end of Memoria, right after killing the Lich. And, Zidane just needs to take a leap of faith, man.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of cool because after we beat the Lich or whatever, like, a little room turns into space, or just before. Anyway, so to move on from here, it's kind of like this doorway into space. Of course, Zidane doesn't trust it, but, you know, Garland starts talking to him, basically convinced him just to take that leap.
Yeah, he's like, step forward. And, you know, of course, Zidane's looking down. It's like, what do you mean step forward, man? He's like, easy for you to say. And, no, there actually wasn't a path. You're just apparently floating in circles through space.
Yeah. Everybody knows this part, like when you play through it, you're just kind of like walking a spiral staircase in space for some reason.
Pretty much.
But it's weird because he's constantly like walking, even when you're not pressing forward or anything like that. But just, it's one of these weird situations where, you know, when you walk forward, he will actually be moving on the screen.
Yes.
So even though it looks like he's constant.
Yeah. 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 We're getting some really interesting stuff, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting pretty crazy at this point. So basically, he just tells Zidane that the reason why they're able to see all of these memories that they never had, or, you know, they weren't alive for, they weren't at that situation, et cetera, is all kind of due to this, like, collective conscience, I should say.
Right.
That, you know, he mentions the crystal of life, all of this kind of stuff, and how all memories are interconnected and all of this kind of stuff. So it does start getting really abstract, but it seems to be this concept of basically, you know, all is one, a collective consciousness of some sort. And basically, you know, he's telling him that this is the point at which you're going to enter a new world with no more worlds, no more space. And Kuja's goal here is to destroy the crystal. So this is what we have to do.
And he does. Yeah, I think you just mentioned it too, like the whole crystal thing. It's like, I guess the crystal is responsible for everything's existence, right? So all the worlds, all the space and all that. And so obviously, you know, we don't want Kuja destroying that. That's not good. And it's pretty interesting about the whole memory thing, because he does say, you know, memories are just like, you know, life. He's like, every life requires a parent. That parent required a parent, blah, 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 you know, tracing all the way back to the very beginning of time. And then he says, it's the same as memory. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's a strange concept. But Same as memory. He just says it's all passed down, and basically, as Alex said, the collective consciousness is there for you to tap it. But he says, like, it's only if you have, like, only if you want to. So
yeah.
You have to make the decision and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to remember what Michelangelo was thinking. And guys, you can remember it. It's there. Just do it. Garland said so. Well, I don't know about
seriously.
That. But he tells you, yes, you got to go stop the crystal, and Garland is done. He says, you are now on your own. So that's it. No more Garland. He's gone. He says, peace out, homies. I'm going to go sleep finally. He also talks about, you know, if he was only created for one thing, his existence, he doesn't regret it being created, essentially what he says. So he's at peace with the whole decision. I mean, if you grow out a beard mustache like that, I would be too. You can now head back to Lindblom. We haven't forgotten that. This is your 16th out of 18th. Again, it's just apparently it repeats it. So that's just an unfortunate thing. But it is another opportunity if you just haven't quite gotten back for the full 9 for that Nero side quest. Here you go, man.
That's still going on.
That's crazy. Still going on. You can still head back. But to the crystal world.
Exactly. I was going to say. So now we're into the crystal world. And yeah, that's the last time that we're going to hear from Garland, supposedly. Anyways, onto the crystal world. So this is, again, you know, there's not too much we can say about the scenery and the environment here. But just know that it is absolutely epic.
It's definitely fantastic.
Yeah, they finished up this game strong with the visuals. I'm telling you, like, from Memoria, to the crystal world. It's just absolutely insane. Yeah, you pretty much just go straight down the crystal path. It's very linear. Battles here are just going to be reincarnations, crystal versions of all of the guardians. What do you call them? The shrine guardians that we all just bought.
So. Yeah, a lot weaker as well, too. So that's good, thankfully. And no, it's a very interesting place. I mean, like, it's... I don't know. There's like floating rocks and stuff. It's really hard to describe, but if you've been there, you know that it's fantastic. And well, we have our last save orb is here as well. So you might want to make a save. It's probably highly recommended. Something that's also funny, and I did so because why not, is it's always great when you tent, isn't it? It's just, it could be in the middle of a battle, you know, Bermesia's under attack. Well, hold on, guys, we're sleepy. Let's take a nap real quick, you know? And it's same thing here. We're in the crystal world. No big deal. Kuja's about to kill the crystal, like, end all existence as we know it. And blah, 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 blah. You know, pom-poms mounts. It's like, yeah, no problem. Time for a nap, guys. Let's go.
Yeah, they all sleep soundly and everything. They're in a, you
like,
know, post-apocalyptic.
So cozy here, isn't it?
It's like an apocalyptic-looking crystal world with constant lightning and thunder, and it looks like everything's about to get destroyed, and they're just sitting there with their little tent set up on the crystal.
Just having
path.
A spot of tea.
Yeah.
And an interesting little slight difference with this save orb, though, is it does have a teleport option. And so I believe it lets you teleport to different locations within Memoria, if I'm not mistaken.
No, actually, it's just all the way back
just
to the beginning.
Just all the way back. Okay. Well.
And use with caution.
Yes, because if you do this, I mean, that is obviously an easy way to get back to the beginning if you do want to leave. Fortunately, you can't teleport back in, so you will have to run all the way back in to that. So just kind of make the decision for yourselves. Yeah, which is why definitely for the Nero side quest, best to get the first 9, not the back 9, okay? So just leave it there. But if you do go up one screen, you will get to the crystal, and you will see someone in the background there. But stop, because you can now actually do just that. You can head back to Lindblom if you so choose. 17 and 18, we're almost done. We almost got it.
Oh,
so
man.
One more opportunity. We'll get that to a moment.
That's so weird. How would you ever know to do that?
Dude, who would keep checking? How did anyone figure this out to begin with? It's like, okay, we move 2 steps, go back. Nope, not there yet. We move 2 more steps. Nope, not there.
Like every screen.
Every screen, go
back to Lindblom or something.
Crazy. We're going to do our shorts a little different this time. We're only going to be doing Bold Move. Seed Trivia, we may be retiring. We're not sure, at least for now.
I was just crushing it too bad.
It became too hard to think of questions. I was just like, goodness, man, I don't know these games. It's hard to ask questions when you yourself, you know. And so we'll see. We might switch it up on the next series with Final Fantasy X. We might flop it with Alex asking me things like you know, is Titus a man? And I could be like, I know that one. And so
is it Titus or Titus?
Yeah, we could do that. So we'll plan it, but we're kind of just going to kind of move that direction for this episode. So a little different, going to probably be a little longer episode as well at that. But let's go ahead and move to Bold Move. All right, man. Bold Move. What do you got for us?
All right, so I've been doing a lot of Final Fantasy VII recently, so I'm going to continue that trend. So I think it was disc two. Anyways, so you know, after the part where you're at the North Crater, and then you lose Cloud and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, so do you remember the part when Tifa was in the gas chamber and Scarlet was about to, you know, kill her and like execute her and all that kind of stuff? It was a bold move for Barrett to trust Kate Sith to try and come up with a plan to save Tifa, because he had no clue what he was doing. So,
Hey, sometimes you just gotta make a bold move and trust some rando, like cat. I don't even know what the thing he's riding. I don't know what
Mog. Yeah, it's like a Mog with a little cat on top. But yeah, we don't even know who he is.
Exactly. That is a pretty bold move, man. Barrett, goodness, trust him.
Oh, so what you got?
I'm going to take this quite different this time. Final Fantasy 15. Now, we haven't talked about Final Fantasy 15 pretty much at all. Yeah. And the main reason is because Alex really hasn't played that much of it. I've beaten it. You don't want to know my opinion. It's poop is what it is. But it was quite kind of a bold move. You know, you're driving around in the car. It's kind of a bold move of Nock to be like, it's hot. Because, come on, man, you know, you're in a group of guys. These guys are clearly, like, late teens. You can't just, like, complain like that to your male buddies. Why? Well, because you're going to get a response like, whatever his Gladius or his name, then take your coat off. I mean, kind of a bold move, man. Why don't complain like that? Come on, dude.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to, Thursday, when we get to that, I'm definitely going to play that game.
That game is
to kind of understand what you're talking about a bit more with that. But yes, bold move, definitely.
Bold move, Nocked. Complaining about what he's wearing. All right, well, those are our bold moves, and let's get back and finish off. Wow, crazy saying that, but finish off Final Fantasy IX. All right, well, so now that you got back from Lindblom, it probably took you about another 10, 15, 20 minutes to get all the way back to this point. It's time to talk to Kuja, man. It's like, we finally got this dude cornered. He's like a rat just scurrying every hole, man. It's like, come on, dude. Like, let's throw down, okay? And
yeah, let's finish this.
An interesting little thing is that he's kind of surprised at first. He's like, you know, I can't believe that you killed or you beat or defeat or whatever he says, those... I don't know what he calls him exactly, but basically all the shrine bosses we just killed.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I can't believe you beat my creations. We already know all the shrine bosses and we killed them all. So we all kind of know that. But like, did he just recreate them? It's like, come on, man, get an original thought, dude. Like, you know, make something new. Why are you totally lame?
Yeah, and he might just do that in a minute. But that was a pretty funny part there, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, we knew that he, you know, like way back, he basically showed that he can make monsters with magic or whatever,
right,
and doesn't need mist. So, you know, it's basically him. He's still in his trance mode or whatever. And
he hasn't taken any actions yet, man.
Yeah.
He's been on pause on his ATB gauge for, you know, literally, I don't know, 2 weeks in game.
Maybe he cheated and he's got like 99.
Dude,
spirit.
He's using a modifier, isn't he? What a jerk.
So anyways, he's chilling there, he's in front of the crystal. And basically he changed after he found out that he was mortal. He thought that he was above all that. So he's on this thing where basically dude is so narcissistic that he can't deal with the fact that the world will go on without him.
It's not fair.
So he's gonna destroy the crystal just so that everybody can die.
Yeah. If I can't live, no one else can either. Goodness, why
he's
you
a
gotta
bad
be...
loser.
Gotta, yeah. What a loser. Sore loser. Well, he does. So obviously he knows he's got to take you out, kind of a deal. I guess he just created this right now in the moment. I don't know, but you get into a battle. It doesn't like it. I don't know. It just doesn't really suggest it came from anywhere. It's just you get into a battle. You're like, cool, I'm fighting Kuja. But nope. Instead, it's just really hardcore looking thing, man. It is insane looking. The death guys. Yeah. And it's like, gosh, it's.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome. Kind of like a, what do you call it, like sort of a Gizmoluke looking dragon thing,
Yeah,
but
actually,
way
yeah.
more skeleton-like and kind of like creepy with, you know, clawed wings and
Yeah.
all this kind of stuff. This guy hits really hard, and we're gonna get to that. As far as
Of
steals,
course.
real quick, so there is still a chance, like anything you steal on this one, you can actually save. So still kind of worth it. 100% elixir, 25% black belt, but the 0.39% is dual claws, so wouldn't bother going for that.
No, maybe just get an elixir if you
If you need
need
it,
it, I
yeah.
guess. Yeah, I mean, might as well, 100%. And this is just, I guess it is what happens, right? He just opens up no matter what by using
He
Meteor. It's just, it's
opens with
immediately,
Meteor.
you know, it will happen. And yeah, lo and behold, you know, for my game, it took out Amaranth, took out Dagger, it took out Freya, and here's Zidane sitting with like 1500. I'm like, well, this is a great way to start a battle. All right, I like this guy, you know?
That must have been a tough recovery, dude.
Oh,
I
dude,
know the feeling,
it
like.
took me like 5 turns to recover because I kept Phoenix downing Dagger,
And
and
then
then
they
he
keep
would do
getting
his little
killed.
spin thing and then kill it. And you know, meanwhile, I had a yeah, it was a long process. It wasn't fun.
Well, you recover from it. That's impressive because, yeah, I mean, everybody knows, like, Meteor. Man, Meteor sucks in this game.
Gosh, it does.
And it basically, like, you know, unlucky, or you kind of luck out with this one because it pretty much just does randomly anywhere between 50 to around 5,000 damage. It's unblockable, so don't even worry about, like, magic defense
Yeah.
isn't really gonna do anything for you here. It's just luck based. So hopefully your party doesn't get taken out like
Yes.
Mark's did. But regardless of that, this guy after that, he'll just basically, if his he's pretty much in the wings open stage at first, he'll just be using Demon's Claw, which does around 2,000 damage.
Yep.
And occasionally he'll sort of like close his wings and go into a different stage in which he's gonna use annoying attacks like Death, Twister,
Our
level
old friend
5
Twister,
Death.
man.
Yeah, Twister's just one of those ones. I mean, at least it's not Meteor, but you know, still
Yes.
pretty bad.
Yeah. And at that point, it pretty much just goes into standard boss things. You know, standard boss fight, you know, at this point, you already know you should just have your status effect protections. You should have, you know, your strong abilities, kind of the usual thing. It doesn't particularly have any more health and much higher defenses than any of the other bosses you encountered in here. It's that opener, man. You just got to make it past that if you're just really unlucky. And then, I mean, of course, he keeps it up. He likes to use death quite a bit. It's quite often, at least it was with mine. It was like almost every other attack. So when you do defeat him, don't move forward, at least. Don't go forward. You're basically standing right where you were just talking. You know, you're able to move. Head on back to Limblove. It's your last chance. So you, up to this point, can still head back. It's so. Dude, this is just mind-boggling. Guys, as a
Strange, man.
disclaimer, the last time I even made it this far in this game was well over 20 years ago, right? So for me to be here, it's like, this is just insane. I can't believe you could be like, hold on, Kuja, dude. Hold on, dude. I need to go
Hold
get
up.
some of Grandma's pickles, dude, because like, if I'm gonna die now, I'm going down eating one of
Hey,
those Geisel pickles. It's gonna happen.
that's a good point. That's a good point. Got to go back and grab some of those. But yeah, it is kind of deceptive because you're so close. Like basically you have control of Zidane, but if you move, like Mark said, if you move forward at all, you initiate the next conversation, then you're stuck,
Yeah, well, and essentially
you
you
know,
initiate
committed
the sequence of the end of the game. You'll
the end of the
never be
game.
able to move
So
around again.
yeah, this is pretty much, it's nice to go back and save because number one, you're probably going to be pretty messed up after that battle.
Yes.
You can save some of the steals and, you know, you can go do that Nero side quest if that's still going on. But
Yep.
anyways, we'll kind of go over some preps for this final battle for you guys just right off the bat.
Yes.
A lot of the auto abilities, of course, are really good. My two personal favorites, if you, well, okay, so right off the bat, like don't worry about status protection for Kuja. So
Yeah, not
take all of
needed.
that off. Not really, yeah. And then auto haste, auto regen is really light, nice. Auto life, not really necessary, but still really nice to have. MP attack, you can have like Maneater on if you're physically attacking with Steiner or Zidane or Amaranth. VV, here's one I thought of that you should probably, it would be pretty nice. Reflect Null, because hint, hint, he kind of does, has an attack that makes things a little bit tricky for VV, so.
Yes, yes.
And holy damage protection, so ribbons, white robes, pretty nice.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
pretty good. Also, side note is that, you know, the track that's about to play here as you open it up, It's called The Darkness of Eternity. First off, what a name for a song, you know, Seriously. The Darkness of Eternity. It's like, geez, man. All right. Well, yeah. Get real deep here, pal.
Yeah, and it is a pretty awesome soundtrack, just like you said. So one of the
best. Final Fantasy usually does not disappoint in their final battle, boss soundtracks, you know. So
right.
We got another great one coming up in a moment. But yeah, Darkness of Eternity, fantastic. And, well, here we go. We finally get to fight Transcuja, right? It's been a long time coming. At this point, for these steals, it's up to you. If you just want it for the sake of, hey, I stole it, I mean, it's the end of the game. And 100% is kind of just, why did they do this? It's an ether. It's not even an elixir, you know? It's like, come on, guys.
Kind of like a slap in the face at this point.
Yeah, it is. Goodness. So.
Yeah, but I mean, funny enough, too, he's got the same amount of HP as Death Guy's, only 55,000, so not insurmountable or anything like that.
Yep.
And like what Mark was just saying, you can actually still equip some of these steals, but you're not going to be able to save them, so not really a big deal. Because 25% is a White Robe, which really sucks, and 0.39% is a Rebirth Ring, which is just like...
Yeah, why would you even do that to yourself? Yeah,
it's absolute garbage. So... Anyways, attacks. He has all the big attacks. Not as bad as Ozma, we talked about earlier. But Flare, holy, he's got Flare Star. Loves to use it a lot.
Yes.
Again, I went over that damage formula. So the higher level your party is, the more damage it's going to do.
Yeah. He will use Kirog on himself. It's actually kind of nice when he does, just because it gives you a little break if you need it. Because, I mean, it only heals for, like, I don't know, like 3,600 or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's like, dude, why'd you even do that, man? I just did 6,000 to you. But it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, the Holy is nice. I mean, ribbons are great if you have that. And, of course, anything that absorbs it with a ribbon on. Holy only did, like, I don't know, like 800. So it was actually really,
oh, wow.
It was a good thing when he used Holy. I was really happy. He also liked the target dagger with it, so of course she also just had that higher magic defense. But
there
overall,
you go.
Not really that hard. I mean, Death Guys was much harder just because of that meteor to begin with, you know, and so this really shouldn't be a big deal. He does like to use Reflect, though, so just be mindful of that if you have Vivi in the party, because, you know, that's just one of those things that you kind of just get into your nice little rhythm, you know, attacks, and you forget, and, well, next thing you know, you just, you know, used Flare in yourself or whatever, and so.
Yeah, it can happen. After you finish off this battle, he does exactly what he did at the end of the Terror battle. He just ends up using Ultima, taking everybody out.
You know, let's get pretty realistic here with it. Okay, in one case, Kuja uses Ultima, destroys a planet. In another case, Kuja uses Ultima, I don't know, gave the party a couple of bruises. Something's not adding up here, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, that's, as we just said, it kind of is just the battle ender, so to speak. And, you know, it basically just goes up to, it's... Desolation, you know, whatever you're fought on. Obviously, you got nailed with Ultima, so it's just all blown up, so to speak, and everyone's just kind of laid out like usual. Hint, hint, you know, back to good old Beatrix, you know, and she killed everyone.
Took
about it. So it's kind of fun, I will say, with this song, because, dude, what is this? So we'll get to this in a moment. It's kind of like on a loop right now. If you actually listen to the soundtrack, which it's literally just called The Final Battle is all it's called. The beginning of it is kind of like, it's just like, it's like people like being tortured or something. And so we're in this
really
beginning loop.
Yeah, it's actually really creepy, because like what you said, it's got little screams in the background, like, and all these like,
whoa!
It's super weird.
Throw a little
one
in
like
there. That would have been hysterical if you heard that in the background.
Final Fantasy Tactics style.
Wow!
Anyways, so yeah, I looked this one up because I didn't know what this place was called. It's apparently called the Hill of Despair.
Oh.
So Zidane will wake up, and then you're sort of getting this text on screen, and there's this voice. We don't know who it is, you know.
Right.
Pretty sure it's not Garland at this point.
Yeah, and we're...
And...
Well, I guess we're assuming it's not Kuja either, you know, considering we just...
Right.
I don't know, beat him down even though he beat us down, but... Yeah,
right,
dude,
we think Kuja's dead.
Yeah, point, yeah, so. We're just assuming that that's the case. Because he essentially did that. He just, like, took himself out. You know, it's like, if yep. I can't live, you can't either. So he just tried to kill
exactly.
everyone, including himself. So we're just assuming he's dead. And yeah, this voice is, like, the most, like, negative and cryptic of them all. You know, it's just, yeah, talking about the fact that since Kuja attempted to destroy the crystal, that means that all life doesn't want to exist anymore. So I guess I got to go ahead and kill all you guys instead. It's like, yeah, dude, where are you from, man? Come on, we just dealt with one crazy for the longest time, and all of a sudden we got King Crazy in here.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like they're in this sort of afterlife, but yeah. sort of like a Hades type of situation, right? The voice is just, yeah, it's being extremely dark and everything, talking about how... you know, if Kuja was willing to destroy the crystal, then basically that must mean that you know, basically all life wants to be freed of fear. And this is like where the game gets seriously abstract, guys. So we're trying to explain
yeah.
this, but you,
yeah,
you know,
it's kind
what
of out
it
of
is.
The blue here. You know,
it is very out of the blue. And basically, so he's basically saying, look, you know what? I'll free you from your pain, I'll free you from your fear of death and all this stuff, and I'll destroy the crystal. And basically he just says that he exists to create the zero world of
yeah.
perpetual nothingness. So if that doesn't tell you how black pill this guy is, then
yeah.
nothing else does.
What the heck, man? I mean, I personally don't really like to live with false hope.
Yeah,
I do
want
to have it all.
Like.
And no, I'm not being childish. So oh wait, wrong
yeah.
Final Fantasy.
It is so much like Final Fantasy X.
Yeah,
I was thinking,
yeah,
Unalisca.
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing she's spouting out
yep.
pretty much.
Yep.
So. No, quite interesting. And essentially our scene is, yes, we're on this this hill of despair, like we just talked about, kind of destroyed. And you do see kind of like floating out in the distance. I mean, it looks like a Colosseum. It does. Kind of like
yeah.
just thinking of
like
a Roman
Colosseum,
you know, is kind of just floating up there. And we get a very interesting thing. So that you get one of the chances where you select your party, you know, and it just lets you just be in the menu. You can't walk around or do anything, but you're just in the menu. You select your party. You're allowed to, you know, heal up or equip items or, you know, do whatever. This is basically your essentially last moments in the menu in Final Fantasy IX. And once you get out of that, you know, you're good to go. Some strange thing. At first, I honestly, dude, I thought this until, you know, we won't spoil it, but it's like the party members that you did not select are like giving up their life force to heal you
yeah.
because everyone's going to be at like, you know, one health, so to speak. And so it's like,
that's
it's
right,
like
yeah.
restoring them. And then, you know, it goes through that. And I mean, come on, of course they all have to have catchphrases here, you know? And so
yeah.
it's so,
yeah.
I don't know. Ikos is kind of lame. Surprisingly, it's kind of like, just promise me you'll win or something like that. And
yeah,
you know, Vivi's is like, sorry that I couldn't do better. It's like, dude, shut up, man. You're here with us at the end. You're obviously ungodly with magic. Just accept it.
Yeah.
Like, goodness gracious.
Phoebe's the goat. I mean, seriously. But there are also some really funny ones like Amaranth's just like, don't screw up. And one of my favorites, of course.
Of course.
You guys know how we post and everything.
Oh, yes.
Kina's quote, come back after you kill bad guy. I prepare big meal for everyone.
Always about
that.
The food, never.
Yeah, Kina's just in this like battle to save all life on Earth. She's like, I'll cook you a big meal.
Yeah, dude, hysterical. And so once you get all your party, you know, and all that taken care of, essentially you will get kind of like teleported up into the Colosseum. You know, the guy doesn't want to come down to meet you. You got to go meet him. And well, here you go. You're into a battle. So as I said, the music is awesome. It's literally just called the final battle. And this is like, as soon as the battle stopped, this is like when the, you know, when it finally kicks off and then it goes into the, like, you know, the actual track. And there's still going to be moanings,
yeah.
luckily. So we get to listen to that. And
that is the weird part, but this is where the song,
oh,
you know,
yeah, it
really
off,
starts
man.
To hit its stride of like, okay, yeah, this is the final boss right here. You can just tell.
This song, when I listen to it, especially when it starts to kick off and na 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 na, you know, and stuff, I don't know why, but I just like picture like a garage band of a bunch of Japanese dudes with long mustaches just like, you know, jamming out, man. They're just like, heck yeah.
Oh,
you know, I don't know why I picture that, but it's just like, dude, it's such like a catchy, just fun song to like jam to. It's like, that's what I think of. That's what happened, actually. I know that for a fact.
But yeah. That's the story.
That's the story. This dude's name is Necron. Don't ask us. We don't know where he came from. You know, apparently he's just been chilling here this whole time. And we don't know how to describe him. He has multiple arms. Some are small, some are large. He's like kind of like, I don't know. He doesn't really have legs. You know, he's kind of just floating. It's like a rain. And then he like has some serial killer hockey mask on.
Yeah. Seriously, that's one of the funniest things. But he looks like a final boss. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, he does.
It's basically like, you know, a godlike figure.
Yeah.
You know, this is classic Final Fantasy right here, where basically you're fighting a god at the very end of the game. And that's essentially what this dude is. But yeah, it is funny to look, though. He has like a mask on or something like that. Honestly, kind of looks a little bit like a hockey mask. So
he just came
pretty
from
creepy,
scoring three
but
goals on the Alexandria Red Team. So that's
for real. Let's just dive right into this guy's attacks. Steals, obviously, don't even matter. But if you need a free elixir, go for it.
Yeah.
So he uses all of the level 3 elemental spells, which are probably the least of your concerns. So Fireaga, Thundaga, Blizzaga. He likes to use Protect and Shell. He also just has some insanely bad attacks. He's got Holy, of course. He's got Meteor, of course, which we all know. Yeah, why not? Exactly. He's got this attack called Neutron Ring, which is basically just does large amount of damage to the whole party.
Yeah.
And then he's got Blue Shockwave, which hits one party member but reduces their HP to 1.
To 1, yeah. And then, dude, probably I would say one of the coolest ability I've ever seen in any Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Grand Cross. Dude, this is insane. It's like, what? There's like the main planet in the center, and then there's like planets or moons, or I don't even know if that's what they represent, but on, you know,
it's
all directionals, up, down, left, right, and it's, dude, it's what like an insane ability.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, this, again, this goes back to all Final Fantasies. The final boss always has some apocalyptic attack, and this one's like sort of a solstice, almost of like, yeah, like what Mark was saying, basically two planets or moons on either side. Anyways, regardless, this attack sucks. It hits your entire party with any status in the game. So it can hit them with death, mini, confuse, venom, just
stop. Yeah, literally any of them. So, you know, go in as best prepared as you can, but you will be hit by something.
You'll get hit by something because you can't, unfortunately, you can't protect against death in this game.
No.
So that's just something that you're going to have to deal with. But one other thing to note about that, though, is it doesn't hit you with every status guaranteed. It just hits you with a random status, So
this dude is tough, though. I mean, he is tough. I was struggling. I was lucky enough that Zidane got a trance. And then slightly after that, Amaranth got a trance as well. And, of course, at that point, it was easy mode and it only took a few turns of, you know, lethal 9 or whatever the heck the abilities are. And just
doing
all kinds of damage. It didn't matter. And I was like, oh, well, that made it much easier.
when Zidane gets a trance or Steiner or something like that, it's pretty much over.
But
as far as this battle, we forgot to mention it before, but yeah, basically like the status protection and then just getting lucky on Grand Cross. Just hopefully it doesn't hit too many people with death or anything like that. And you should be able to pull through, just keep people healed up, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to exhaust those elixirs. You know, why not?
Yeah, use them all. This is it.
If you did manage to squeak on by, or if you just completely stomped him down, that's it. So we'll see you guys next. No, I'm just kidding. So, some very interesting things here. We obviously cannot talk about all of this stuff because it was so much to remember, and then half of it you can't even pause to write notes, apparently. And so I've forgotten probably a lot of it since this morning, but very interesting stuff. But first off, right off the bat, we know that the Aoife tree starts going wild, right? I mean, the the roots, it literally even starts growling, if you can believe it. It goes, like, I'm not even kidding. It's like, yeah. What is this thing, a monster? Like, I don't even understand anymore. What's going on? Like,
So basically, you know, after they beat Necron, he says that he's still going to exist, whether in life or death, so it doesn't matter. Like, you haven't done anything, is basically what he said to him. The Colosseum blows up, you know, like what Mark was saying, the Aoife tree is going crazy.
You got actually a pretty funny scene with Beatrix where she's talking to the Knights of Pluto and they're like, you know, no one could survive that. And that's like, no. And she's like, hey, you know, contact Cid on the Hildegard. So they talk and essentially Cid rolls up in his caddy and is like, yo, guys, let's go. Like, it's now or never. Zidane realizes that Kuja is still alive. He just says, I just know it is. Like, I either says, like, maybe I hear him or I feel him or something. But he knows that Kuja is alive. And he's like, dude, we can't just leave him alive. You know, like, we can't do
this
that.
This is crazy.
Like, yeah, dude, you know, it's insane.
The party's just like, how could you possibly, you know, still care enough to even go do that after he's tried to destroy basically all life and all of this kind of stuff? And then just, it's kind of interesting because, you know, he just knows that he has to, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that he knows is the right thing to do. So it's kind of an interesting...
And
very much a bold move at this point.
Yeah, bold move goes to all, and he wants to do it alone too. You know, he won't let anyone come. All of them want to come. All of them say kind of their final like character development and or feelings towards Zidane in that moment. Like, you know, of course, Amaranth is like, dude, you're an imbecile, and he walks away. And Zidane's like, that dude's never gonna change. You know, Aiko finally womans up and says, "I love you, Zidane." And then she runs away.
Right, yeah.
But they all say the same thing. Vivi is even like, you know, he kind of downgrades himself. And finally, Zidane's like, dude, chill out, man. Because honestly, I probably wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. Like, you have taught me so much. You know, he's like, just like when Vivi had to make that decision about himself, you know, and realizing, I don't know, I forget, maybe Black, maybe Bitch or something. He's like, I have to make my decision now too, you know? And so he's using even Vivi as resources. But regardless, a lot of other things happen. Kena mentions food, of course. And off Zidane goes to, I would say, probably the strangest cinematic, like, they kind of went halvesies, didn't they? They're like, hey, do we have enough money to actually, you know, FMV Zidane into this? And they're like, no, man. They just put him in. It looks really bad, dude. It looks so bad.
Yeah, the final FMV here is really funny because you've got Zidane. So all of the roots have started basically attacking, and he
parkour.
Sort of goes into this weird, like, yeah, it's just crazy parkour. But he all of a sudden can run like 100 miles an hour, and so he's running along the ground.
It's sideways on walls.
Yeah, dodging all these vines and everything. And we always knew that Zidane was crazy athletic with the parkour and everything,
man.
This evil forest and whatnot. Yeah. But this takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty crazy scene with vines. I mean, like, you know, seriously, just like hundreds trying to like attack him and kill him and stuff. And he's just parkouring around, jumping and stuff. And he even has like little smirks on his face every now and then, like, heck yeah, I'm doing this, buddy.
He's killing it.
He's like, heck yeah, he's like all those push-ups. Very interesting scene, but he does get to the center. Yeah. And this is actually, this is a really interesting kind of thing because Kuja's obviously dead and defeated, you know, or he's dying there and, you know, he's all battered and bruised, as you can tell. And he's just like, you know, what are you doing, man? You know, like, why are you even here? Why are you even trying to save me? And Zidane is just, man, he just pops down. And I forget kind of exactly what he says, but it's just like, you know, it's possible that I would have done the exact same thing if I were you. He realizes they really truly are kind of the same, so to speak. It's just, you know, and even that, he gives credit to Kuja too. He's like, honestly, you were the first one to have consciousness here. You know, it's like you were kind of the trailblazer for himself or Mikoko too, or Mikoto, whatever. I see Coco, you know, whatever. I don't care.
But Mikoto.
It's so
close enough.
It's close enough. And so it's kind of an interesting moment.
Yeah, I really like this scene, honestly. Like, you know, aside from the crazy one that we just got through, such an awesome scene. And basically, we also find out that, you know, one of the first things Kuja says is, are all your comrades okay? So we find out that he was the one that teleported them out from the Aoife tree.
Yes.
Before everything, you know, blew up and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you have Kuja kind of like fading off as if he's passing away or something like that. So Zidane goes over and he's like, no, you're not dying on me and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're left with this scene where all of these green vines just basically
just congregate
on them. And, yeah. And so you're thinking,
oh, they died, man. I mean, come on. Yeah. Those were, you know, they got too mad. Like, this dude ain't parkouring out of this. Heck no. And just pinned him down like a fly. And so it fades. And so then we just get a message that says sometime later. Very interesting scenes, and this is unfortunately where you couldn't pause, and so I was trying to like write down and get as much info and try to remember and get as much screens, but I couldn't pause it during this. Starting out, it's very interesting. It's very reminiscent, because here we go. We got Vivi. He's holding some tickets, man. He's in Alexandria. He says, so this is Alexandria, and here comes little old Punk, is what I'm calling him, Punk Puck, right? Runs into him. He's like, dude, what's up, man? He was like, who the heck are you, man? Like, oh, you Prince Puck? And he's like, aren't you Vivi? He's like, no, I'm Vivi's son. And then here come like 30 other ones. What the heck, dude? How did Vivi had kids?
I think they like cloned him or something. It is super strange, but you know, I got to be honest, what I was thinking is, how awesome would it be to have like a party of four Vivis? just four of them casting Doomsday.
The world is very lucky that they did not make the Black Mages as Vivi's model. Goodness gracious, man. Man.
Funny. But yeah, really interesting scene, because it turns out, while none of them are Vivi, it's all just Vivi's kids.
Just all his kids. They all look exactly like him. And at this point, it kind of starts to go to all the characters, right? So the order might be wrong here, but you know, it also goes to Freya, and her and Sir Fratley are now together in Bermesia, you know, and finally it seems like she even mentions he doesn't remember the past, but he at least still
doesn't remember,
the feelings, though. The feelings are there, so it's not like he just simply doesn't like her anymore or anything like that. So they're very much in love together now, is what it kind of says. So it's kind of that happy ending there, you know, with those two. Goes to, also has Amrit. He's over at like, oh, what is that
place? It's like the South Gate.
Yeah,
it's that bridge.
Oh, that's right.
It's
a
super weird place. It's the bridge by South Gate.
Yes.
On your way to Trino, between Dali and Trino, but super random place.
Yes, and he's on his way to, we're starting now to get the sense from conversation stuff that everyone's going to Alexandria. Obviously, something's happening. We don't know yet. But Lonnie's there, you know, and she's like, you going? He's like, why wouldn't I? You know, and so they're heading out too, and we also have Beatrix. She's in what was Dagger's quarters, maybe, I think is what it was, the room. And she's just kind of like, you know, she lays down her, she's like, save the queen. You know, she lays it down. She's like, basically, like, I'm not needed anymore, because, you know, if we're thinking about Steiner is, you know, Dagger's personal knight. So essentially replaces Beatrix. But, well, she's leaving, and because now it goes to Steiner, and Steiner's like, Beatrix. I forget exactly what he says, so I ruined the moment.
I can't. No. I think it was he says like I can't stand to lose you again, essentially, along those lines.
Yes.
And because, you know, he's sort of sitting there, and it does the thump
thump his heart.
Again, he's sitting there, he's like covering up his face. He's like, man, am I really about to say this right now? But he does, he comes out with it, and you know, they come together and everything. So it really is like, so far it's this kind of like feel good thing, aside from Zidane and Kuja. Everything else has been really nice. It's like, okay, you know, Vivi somehow found a way to like have a legacy on. Frey and Sir Fratley are good. Amara and Lonnie.
Yep, they're back together.
And
up.
Steiner and Beatrix.
Yep. And then it just continues on, because it has Aiko, and she's in the lift in Limblum with Sid and Hilda, and she calls Sid father, and he's like, what do you say? And she's, you know, and then she comes back and calls father and mother. So obviously it kind of gives that happy ending there, where Aiko, man, she's been alone who knows how long, 6-year-old, but now she has parents, you know, and heck, man, Sid and Hilda, she could do a lot worse than that, right? And so, you know, that's a really cool thing. And then, of course, we got to go to Kina, which... where else would she be?
Yeah, funny enough, Kina ends up exactly at the first place. We talked about this, I think it was even the first episode, where you can go and find Kina in the kitchen in Alexandria. So she's back in the kitchen in Alexandria, and it's just a hilarious scene, because, you know, she's sitting there with her tongue out and everything, like,
Oh, yes.
Just going back and forth between these pots on the stove. And it just looks like there's like boiling water or something.
Yeah. Delicious boiling water.
So, yeah, everything's good with her. And she's just basically like, I'm going to cook some amazing. The way to cook amazing food is to do it with love for friends, essentially, yep. Among those lumps. You know, it's all feel good at this moment.
It is. It is all feel good. But here we are with Dagger, right? So it shows her. She's clearly the queen. It mentions that multiple times. And they are preparing. It's been kind of, I think it's been hinted at. I also did go to the theater ship at some point with the Tantalus troops. So it did show them. I can't really remember too much. And now we're here. And so essentially everyone's gathering for, once again, another, yeah, another play from the theater ship. So it's like, dude, yep, we are 100% full circle now. It's crazy.
Exactly. I was just going to say that because that scene, I forget where it slots into all of that, like you said. But it's so funny because, you know, aside from Zidane being there, it's exactly the same scene as the very beginning of the game. So it's, yeah, kind of a trip because it's like, you know, honestly, even if you did speedrun this game, it's still a solid like 10 or 12 hours or something like, yeah, that. You know, I mean, it's a long game. So it's weird to be seeing this like it's the beginning.
Well, yeah, then again, then now.
You know? Right. So, of course, you know, they're gearing up for their roles again in I Want to Be Your Canary. So, yeah, it's the same play, so it's all pretty similar. And yeah, I mean, here we go.
And it just plays on out, you know, it actually plays out the play a little bit more now. You actually get to watch it a little bit. And, you know, it's got Marcus in there and he's a hooded and he's talking to Ruby, which is, you know, whatever the girl is. And it goes through and
it's like Cornelia or something.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, Cornelia. And it just kinda goes through, I want to be your canary, and it plays through. And you know, Marcus is wanting the Cornelia. She left. She's not showing up. And he says, and I'll pray to the, you know, the twin moons that, like, I prayed to find. And then, you know, boom, it's Zidane. And he says, Dagger. And so, obviously, Dagger's going nutso. And she goes to the door. But, man, she gets barred. Siner and Beatrix are like, heck no. And then they smile and open, yeah, the doors for her. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah. But Steiner's smile in that scene, yep, too is so creepy.
Go get him, Tagger.
Yeah, they're pretty much just like, he's like, you know what? I used to hate the guy, but now I approve because, yep, she's cool and everything.
Absolutely.
So, you know, go after it. And yeah, she runs down. And
yes.
It's like your typical... Your typical
happy ending, man. You know?
Yeah, just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like your romantic movie and all that, yep, kind of stuff where basically she thought he was dead. And yeah, somehow he's still alive and everything. They finally get to be reunited and, yep, have this really great scene.
And then that's kind of, yeah, that's how it ends. And it just kind of plays out with the song and all that. And here we go, credits, you know, and that's the game, guys. It's super exciting. I will say, though, did Kuja live?
Yeah, that's something I was thinking of.
Kuja's
too,
still
so
kicking around somewhere?
Here's what I got from that. I think Kuja died. To answer your question, though, that's what I think happened there. I think he actually died. And
the bucket, huh?
Yeah, and somehow Zidane lived. And at the very, very end, like the final words of this game were, what was it? Something along the lines of, how did you survive? And he basically just said, because I had to live. It's a really good ending. It's really interesting.
It is. We want to thank you all for sticking with us through the series. I mean, obviously, the podcast continues. And so we want to thank you for hanging out with us, spending time listening to this particularly long episode. We're sorry it went so long, but heck, you know, it's the ending of the game. And so we got to give it credit where credit's due. If you want to stop off at our Instagram, it's Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. It's just where we have all of our media. Of course, we'll have all this end game content for you. How could we not? And then also we do have a website, Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. And we got blog posts there, a little bit more info. If you so choose, you can listen to the episodes there if you want. And, well, I think that will do it for us this time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.